Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's say that very slowly together in unison. God with us, because I'm going to break down those three words are crucial in our understanding and comprehension of Jesus and how he came and dwelt among us. My mind goes back to that day 2,000 years ago. Joseph must have been in intense pain. He had a problem on his hand. His fiancée was pregnant, but she wasn't pregnant by him. Now what is he going to do? He has a big dilemma on his hands. How could their proposed marriage ever work out? But could he let her go? And so that night he slept, tossing and turning. And then an angel came to him in a dream to assure him, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, you know what he did? He didn't doubt the angel. He believed the angel, took Mary to be his wife. And as Paul Harvey would say, the rest is history. I'm sure there was a lot of talk among the citizens in Jerusalem that night and that day surrounding the birth of Jesus. They believed that Joseph was indeed the father of Jesus. And so to discredit divine birth, they circulated a story around town that Jesus was the illegitimate son. And the Bible says after that encounter with the angel, the Bible narrator says a very curious thing. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. This prophetic sign was given over 700 years before it actually was fulfilled. That's a long time to wait. So what does that word Emmanuel mean? It comes from two Hebrew words, two preposition words from the Hebrew, meaning with, beside, and among. With, beside, and among. So breaking it down, it simply means God with us. But what is its significance to us today? God is with us, number one, to help us at our point of need. I'm sure most of us have had those lonely moments in our lives when we were going through some tough times. And as the psalmist said, I looked to my left and I looked to my right, but there was no one that cared for my soul. We all have experienced those sleepless nights and those lonely nights. And you know what it feels like. And so the wonderful promise is made through Christ the child, Emmanuel, which means that God will be with you and with me right in the center of our turmoil. He brings peace in the midst of the storm, and he will not leave us to our own resources. I don't know about you, but my resources are very, very limited. His isn't. And all of his resources are now available to us. And so the difference for you and for me can be like night and day. In past times, God has made this kind of promise to some very special people in history. And let's retrace the story. Abraham, for example, was an alien in a threatened land, but God said to him, I am Emmanuel, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Moses, he was told to personally confront the most powerful king on the face of the earth at that time, and all he had was a staff in his hand and the promise of God, I will be with you, Emmanuel. Moses believed him, went to Pharaoh at great risk, and as a result, God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea. And then after Moses died, his apprentice was thrust into leadership, and God made the same promise to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when I recount these tremendous Bible stories, I come away with, man, that is powerful stuff, isn't it? That Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, means that his promise is not just to these great leaders in the Old Testament, but his promise is for you today and for me. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. He spoke to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a tremendous promise that is. That promise of Emmanuel, it's not just the Old Testament patriarchs, arcs. It wasn't just to the apostles, but it's for you. It's for me. All we have to do is claim that promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. This also tells us about the mission that Jesus was on. It tells us about his nature. We have listened to the story of Mary, how she responded to her pregnancy by the Holy Spirit. We have listened to Joseph's concern, and we have listened to the angel's assurance that he gave. And at that point, the narrator tells us that this is fulfilling prophecy 700 years before, embedded in the book of Isaiah. Wow. Now, when you read Matthew's account of Mary's conception, that tells the story from Joseph's perception. But when you read the Gabriel's account to Mary that she will bear a son and his name will be called Emmanuel, Luke focuses on the perception that Mary had when she received the news. How will this be? She asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the physical Son of Mary in his human nature, but spiritually, he is the Son of God. He has been begotten by God himself. So, when the shepherds and the wise men gathered and worshiped the baby, they are worshiping whom? Not the baby. They are worshiping God himself. Jesus, the Son, is divine to the same degree that the Father is divine. Jesus is God. Now, this is very radical to our way of thinking. When we focus upon the real meaning here, we forget about the Christmas tree, and we forget about the mistletoe, and we forget about parties and presents, or even the spirit of giving. But Christmas is a celebration of a radical fact that God took on human flesh when Jesus was born. God himself is Emmanuel, God with us. Now back to Isaiah chapter 7 and Psalm 8th chapter in Psalm. The scriptures, these two scriptures, focuses upon the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary's home in Nazareth with the news that she was going to give birth and bear the Son of God. Mary had a lot of difficulty comprehending that message of the angel, and that announcement of the birth of Jesus was anticipated by the prophet Isaiah 700 years ago, that Jesus as God would be in Mary in the person of his son, but he would be with his people as a man during the years of his public ministry, culminating in his sacrificial death. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's go back to that town of Nazareth for a moment, a tiny village in Galilee. It was so unimportant that that town is not mentioned in the Old Testament. It rose to prominence only because it was the hometown of Mary and Joseph and the years, the early years that Jesus would spend there in Nazareth. Located in Lower Galilee, about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea, Nazareth had only one spring of fresh water available to all of its inhabitants, only one. The spring to this day is called Mary's Well. And we can imagine that Jesus must have, on many occasions, went there to draw water for his family. And today, the Church of Annunciation stands over the location where tradition says Mary and Joseph lived. We can imagine the poverty that existed in that little town called Nazareth. The small synagogue where the Jewish inhabitants went to worship. They studied the Torah, cherished the memories and the promises of the forthcoming Messiah. But it's been long, long overdue, they were thinking, perhaps. No doubt Mary had read these predictions of Isaiah many times while growing up. A virgin shall conceive. She must have thought there must be some woman of nobility in town, with a royal place in the palace, perhaps. She would be God's choice. But no matter what, she and all the other inhabitants were saying, oh come, Emmanuel. Now let's break this down as we wrap up this reflection time. Let's talk about God first. God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. So what did God do? He created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. He created him. Notice it doesn't say he created Edward and Adam. He created male and female. We still believe that today, do we not? I say amen. But why did God make man? He did not do so on a whim or because perhaps he was bored with his angelic beings, the seraphim and the cherubims, being under his control. They existed to fulfill his wishes, carry out his commands, and do his biddings. But what God desired was a creature with whom he could have a different kind of a relationship with. So God took great pains in preparing for this new creation. For example, he chose the earth for his staging area. Bright light and order he created out of darkness and chaos. And he created a garden of indescribable beauty. Then he made Adam, complete by fashioning Eve from his rib. And yet the real mystery of God's creation of Adam and Eve is that he made them unique with a moral freedom that no other creature he made seemed to have. The freedom of choice would make it possible for these new creatures to know and communicate with God at a deeper level. And the greatest mystery of all is that God allowed these human beings to choose to love and obey or reject him and go their own way. So God became a God of many names. In the beginning, he was Elohim, the majestic God of creation. When he came to sinful people seeking them, he became Yahweh, the God who longs to establish a covenant relationship with people. God refused to give up on mankind. Aren't you thankful for that? He didn't give up on you, hasn't given up on me. Let's talk about that word with. In order to expand our understanding of Emmanuel, let's talk about that preposition there, with. That connects a noun or a pronoun with another element or sentence or phrase. And the dictionary states that the word simply means alongside of, near to, in the company of, among, as an associate or a companion. With. God is alongside his people. One of the names for the Holy Spirit is Paraclete, which means one who is called alongside another. Jesus told his disciples that when he went away, he would send them another comforter who would be alongside them, never to leave them nor forsake them. So God is near to his people. He is so near to us that he knows what we think. He knows how we think. He knows when we hurt. He knows when we experience joy and gladness. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us inside out. Indeed, he is Emmanuel, which means God is near us. God is in the company of his people. When God made Adam and Eve, what did he do? The Bible tells us that in the cool of the day, he walked and talked with them in the garden. He was in the company of his first man and woman. God longs to be among his people. He even said, whenever there's only two or three, it's all it takes for me to be there in the midst of them. Now let's talk about us. We can imagine God with his angelic and celestial creatures. We can even understand that God would relish being in the midst of his beautiful and flawless creation. But we have a hard time imagining that God is willing to be with us, mankind, because we were born with sin. We inherited Adam's inflated and distorted ego, mankind's determination to do their own thing, go their own way. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. So we have a choice to resist his laws, disobey his commandments. Why would God want to be with us? It's my question. David asked a similar question. David was totally perplexed and frustrated when he wrote Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. Human logic cannot fathom the possibility of a relationship between a perfect, all-righteous God and a sinful mankind. So why does God continue to love us? He just does, because God is love. Now, about 7 miles west of Jerusalem, archaeologists have examined and excavated the remains of a village dating back to the time of Christ. When they had identified this archaeological discovery, they identified it as the town of Emmaus, the home of Cleopas and his friend. As followers of Jesus, you know the story after the crucifixion, walking home, very discouraged. They thought life had ended for them. Hope had been dashed. And they were returning home in the afternoon on the third day of his death. And they did not know that Jesus had risen from the grave. They did not know that he had appeared to his disciples in a closed and locked room in Jerusalem. They were sad, they were defeated, and they were going home to kind of pick up the pieces of their lives. On the way, suddenly out of nowhere, walks a stranger to them that they did not know. As they were walking under that dark cloud of sorrow and disappointment, Christ appeared and he fell right in step with them. He was alongside them, Emmanuel, God with us. He began the teachings of the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied his comings. And then when their eyes were open and he broke bread with them and he all of a sudden disappeared as quickly as he appeared, they said, weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he talked with us on the road? O come, Emmanuel. It's an old hymn, author unknown, but it's believed written by a monk way back in 800 AD. It originally contained 7 verses representing the different biblical views of the Messiah. And they sung one verse per day back then during the last 7 days before Christmas. We have it sung to us today in English. In fact, we sung it just a few moments ago. Emmanuel has come and he dwells among us. You know, a young boy stood on the sidewalk beside his home with a little black box in his hand. Several yards down the walk was a small model car. And by manipulating the controls on that little box, he was able to make the car race up and down the sidewalk. He could make it turn on a dime. He could make it turn around. He could make it stop. He could make it travel in reverse. Finally, after the car had gone through all of its tricks and maneuvers, the young boy with his control box brought the car in slowly to his feet to a dead stop. That is the way the angelic beings are. They are under God's remote control. And their control center is but an extension of God's thoughts and his actions. But when God made human beings, he wanted more than that. So he made us with the capacity to have a unique fellowship with himself. God could be with us, and we could be with him in a unique and special way the angels could never experience. As I wrap up my reflection time, I want to tell you a story. Years ago, there was a series of man-made caves. They were built by the Romans during the first century. They were dug, these caves were, in order to get limestone for building material. They're huge in size, but of special interest, they discovered that on the walls inside these caves are carved crosses. Christians met there during days of intense and brutal Roman persecution. And yet, inside those caves, focusing in upon the cross, those believers rejoiced in the knowledge that God was with them. He was there. Even as they hid themselves in those deep, dark caves in order to save their lives, probably at no other time did they feel closer to God than during those bleak, dark days when they lived with the prospect of persecution and death. And what kept them going was their faith on that promise. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Sometimes I don't know how it works for you, but in my own experience, it's when I'm at the lowest that God appears to be the closest. Isn't that the way it works? So I want you to leave with the thought that Emmanuel, God is with us. When I get into my vehicle and drive out of the parking lot, God's with me. When I go to work Monday morning or Tuesday morning, God's with me. I can practice the presence of God like Brother Lawrence did because I claim that promise. Emmanuel means God is with me. I'd like to sing that chorus one more time before we turn off the lights.